ideas, and so I gave him ideas. At first I told him, you know, pardon me for saying this, but it always makes a good impression if you have a clean shirt, maybe go to like...
Listen, by this, you said this when you first met this guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, he approached me on
this
subject.
This advice you've given him.
Exactly.
During his first meeting, right?
Right.
On the street.
On the bus. A brief encounter on the bus.
Uh-huh.
He is telling me, I am trying to get a job. And he wasn't asking for money. He was asking for advice.
Pardon me, this guy, I know, and you told him that you gave him advice, but how does it start? Is something you do? People talk to you, is that it?
Yeah, frequently people talk to me.
Like you say it's a certain way you have. I'm thinking of calling this book The Feeling Tone, because there's a black woman once used that phrase. There's something called a feeling tone. People can sense it, you see? If you got that, that's what you're talking about.
It's a combination of how you walk, how you smile. If you even say hello, you don't say hello.
Because you're saying, like all these guys were surprised earlier, you do certain things. And also when you're friendly, especially people who are black or Hispanic or who are put down a lot, if they see that you make the overture sometimes, right?
Well, one time that did cause me a little trouble because the guy, I said hello when I was going to work in Cabrini, and the gentleman, the fellow pulled a switchblade out of his sleeve, and I had never seen one before. But I did handle him because he said, I want your purse. I handed him my wallet. I had 90 cents. He said, I want your money, ma'am. I said, excuse me, I don't make that much money. I've had my purse taken a few times, and so I just don't carry it on me. And he said, well, I really want that purse. And he kept folding his, he folded his switchblade, put it up his sleeve, and then he took it back out. Well, he didn't have it at my throat. He had it down. So I told him, well, I'm sorry, but you don't use my type of comb. I hope you don't wear lipstick. And I hate to have neighbors.
You said this to him, the guy with the...
Yeah.
Where was this? Now?
Right near Cabrini. Right at
it was on the street.
Black Hawk and Cleveland.
Oh, it's on the street.
At 7:30 in the morning, and no one else is around.
Right.
And
give me more of that conversation.
Okay. Well, first, you know, he said, "I want your purse." When he realized that I did not, I gave him my coin purse. I handed it to him. You know, I told you about the 90 cents. It got ticked off. How come you don't have more money? I said, "Well, I don't make that much, and I've had my purse taken a few times, and I hope I've learned something. I want your purse." He got a little angrier, and I said, well, excuse me, Buster, but I hope you don't use my type of comb. I hope you don't wear lipstick. I know you don't use my type of comb, and I hate to have the neighbors talking about you walking around with a lady's purse. I said, so for those above reasons, I don't think I should give it to you. He, again, was surprised. Now, had he had a gun to my head or the knife to my throat, I'm sure I would have, because I am afraid of weapons. Not people, but weapons. So he bowed. He bowed.
He bowed?
He bowed after you. And I was, we were, of course, face to face.
He bowed after you, meaning he'll follow you?
No, no. He meant go ahead.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead and go on.
Yeah.
And I said, no, no, after you, Buster.
Yeah.
So we're bowing.
Uh-huh.
As ready to do a duel with swords or something, but we're bowing great, and we did not turn our back. And then he turned and went away. And so I went around the corner and yelled, help, the winos are there. And big help they were. So we called the police, and, you know, of course, we couldn't find the individual. But everyone laughed when I told them about the lipstick, the comb, and the purse.
Well, this is, see, what you do is... You do the unexpected quite often.
Exactly. But recently, I've got to tell this
story. Well, I want to come
okay.
to, wait,
okay.
before
All
I
right.
come to the real
okay.
one, by the way. So, you're scared, aren't you?
Not so much frightened. I am not frightened. I'm surprised when it happens. I am sometimes angry. Because I don't have a mean bone in my body. I've helped a lot of people. But I'm also have...
You also have a...
Survival instinct. And that's when I think the key is not to show fear. Use common sense. Talk slowly. Be you know, talk as though you have strength. Look them right in the eye. Be cooperative. You know, if you, they say, you know, don't, you know, it depends on exactly what they're doing. Now, no one has actually ever tried to touch me or cut me or anything like that.
You never have been, have you?
No, never, never.
And I've also been, don't...
You know, God, you know, I'm very thankful to God that that's not
but
happened.
You're, also, you're not hostile.
Exactly. And right. And if he had said, usually they don't ask for your purse. They just take it. And a sixth sense is, you know, I felt he was a novice. Otherwise, he would have had the knife much higher, wouldn't have had it down.
Well, have you ever been robbed or mugged? You know, which they took?
I've had my purse taken. You know, they've, in fact, the last...
You mean grab it and run.
Grab it and run. Yes, I've definitely had that happen. Not since I've left Cabrini Green. The last time it happened, I got by the first guy, and I breathed a sigh of relief, and then another guy. He had a decoy. Another guy was there to do it. So I have, but I've always carried, and I've advised a lot of patients, you know, and other people, community groups, you know, carried in a shopping bag, carry very little. So I've always carried very little, but, you know, maybe they got a comb and lipstick and a couple bucks. And I usually have somewhere else IDs.
Now the experience that you've had so far, you're talking about the years of 71 to 80, around there.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
that's... Then, 81, I went to work at Michael Reese Health Plan, and...
Now, describe that. Now you're working... First was the west side, the clinic.
Well, west of Sandburg Village,
yeah,
which,
Green.
You know, it's the haves and the have-nots within a couple blocks.
Right.
Now, and most of them have, if they made it out of high school... That was fortunate. I was fortunately able, this is the parents. A lot of the teenagers that I did come in contact have gone on to college, and I had a fabulous experience. I saw one of my former students. I was covering the Arlington Million.
Pardon me, one of your former students?
One of the former CETA students at the clinic. See, we had summer students who were at the clinic.
Who worked at the clinic?
Yes.
CETA, that's during the...
72 to 81. CETA is I think it's Training Act. It's governmental funding for low-income individuals.
CETA. Yeah.
CETA.
CETA. CETA students
right.
Worked at the clinic at Cabrini
Green. Right.
And so they were what? They were from poor families.
They have to be very low income, and they would be assigned, and we petitioned for them to get so many students, and they were learning to do filing, how to answer the phone, help the patients fill out their history, and many of those individuals, 99% of them went on to college, and it was a struggle. In fact, they would come in snapping their gum, wearing halter tops, dragging their feet, come in late, and after a couple days, it was such an interesting assignment that they didn't come in that attire or late, or they, you know, they acted much more professional, but it would be a struggle between maybe some of, and don't get me wrong, because there are many inner city parents who are striving and doing everything they can for their children to go to college. But there are some parents who have given up. I mean, it's hard when you have five children and a modest income. You know, not a very modest income, and you're living in the project to feel good about yourself and to be motivated and get up, you know, smiling.
So you say you met a couple.
Oh, well, this one girl in particular was working at the Arlington racetrack, and I was the reporter covering the race. And... Whitney Houston and Cab Calloway were there, and she was very eager to meet them. So I took her over, and I got her pictures with Whitney Houston and Cab Calloway. They were the celebrities of the day. But it made me so proud because she had won a college scholarship, and she was out at this racetrack working during the summer for extra revenue. So, she did not have a car, so she took the train out there. So it showed... that she had her priorities straight, that she was willing to put in the extra effort, And even if it involved a little distance traveling as far as working.
So this is the work you're in. Now you have another job. When was that?
Right, 1981.
In 81, you what? That's the job you have now.
I'm now a nurse at Michael Reese Health Plan.
A nurse?
Yes. And
so we say nurse.
Well, I have taken courses in physical assessment. So I work on a team with six physicians and a nurse practitioner, and I see urgent non-emergent patients.
Urgent what?
Urgent non-emergent. That means the patient may have a bronchitis.
Oh, non-emergency.
Yeah, non-emergency.
It's called non-emergent, I see.
Right. And I've taken courses, I mentioned, in physical assessment with the University of Chicago and Ohio State. And we work under the guidelines of physicians. I do a lot of teaching, but we do physical assessment for the appropriate type patients.
This is you the head nurse there? Or?
No, I'm not the head nurse. I have chosen at this time to split my energies between nursing and sports writing.
Uh-huh.
And administration.
And the sports writing is done freelance, right?
Well, I write a column for a couple papers every week. I'm expected
to. They're community papers.
Right.
Okay.
And as of last week, a Hispanic magazine. So, and I also volunteer with the Emergency Fund for Needy People. So it's hard to do in administration. I've organized a home health agency. I've been a nursing administrator. When you've already. If you need to be in that role for whatever reason, fine. I've already done it. I would, I have other priorities.
So you do that. Now that's so you work there.
We have 250,000 outpatients. I'm at the main headquarters. We have 19 branches, and what's really fascinating is that I am seeing a large portion of Black patients. And most of them are definitely college-prepared, if not Ph.D. They're aldermen, alderwomen, school board, not the superintendent,
these
but
the patients.
Yeah.
So this is different than in class from the
Cabrini. It's a different.
The same color, but upper class.
Right. And there are, of course, bus drivers, cleaning ladies.
Yeah. But the people with jobs, generally.
They're all working. Except the senior citizens, and it's 100% coverage. There is a lot of teaching and motivating, trying to get them back, and so the still it's very challenging.
I mean, these patients are wholly different then. I mean, they're different class.
Exactly.
Same color, but different class.
I've had a few. Now, the seniors, I would say, would be the same. Many of the seniors are in the same economic situation because they go up to age 90 and they do not have well-paying jobs, so their contributions to Social Security were minimal. And so they would be in the same financial category.
Yeah.
So, but the bulk of them are well-educated, and so it's fascinating because you get probably a more total picture of what is going on, not only in the Hispanic and Black, but as far as educational opportunities, goals. Many of these that I'm seeing now are decision makers, and they're making decisions for the people that I left.
So in your experience here, you have encounters. Where you work is also South Side. This is a near South Side.
Right.
Part of the hospital complex.
Right.
Area.
It. But on occasion, I mean, I've had some cases of homeless people there that I have cared for. And if you get a major, if you develop a major illness, all of us are on a fine line between having a roof over our head and being homeless. And So there are many, many concerns, many concerns.
So how do you, how are you treated there? How are you regarded there?
Well, I think in both situations, I was regarded extremely well. And